at the AGM, which we held a couple of months back. During the course of the evening, I just asked the friends who were gathered what they thought were some of the distinctives of the Crawley New Life Church. Not necessarily what was setting us better than other churches, but what perhaps attracted them to this particular fellowship, etc., or what they've come to love about this particular fellowship. Now, first of all, let me be obviously honest and open with you. This isn't a perfect church because I'm here as your pastor. And none of us are perfect yet. But I hope by God's grace we are being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And people spoke about the love, the friendship that they find here. Others spoke about that they are attracted because we're a church that stands firmly on the Word of God. That we want to do what God's Word says and not what perhaps the world is wanting us to adapt to their culture, etc. But if God's Word says something, by His grace we will be doers of that Word and practitioners of that Word. And of course another distinctive is Piers last Sunday was articulating that we are not a replacement theology church, that we have a love for Israel and the Jews. And as we're getting, and praise God, folk who are new to the fellowship, I felt it was important that in this month, today and the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at four distinctives of this church. Things, values which we believe and hold very, very close to our heart. Things which we believe please the Lord. And as I say, it's not saying that this church is better than others, but what we do want and what we do cover and what we do believe, Christ's presence is among us. Hallelujah. And today, where we are, I'm going to be talking a little bit about the Word of God. This, by His grace, is a church of impact. We want to make an impact amongst ourselves, but also in the community and in the wider world. And you will know, those of you who have been coming here for any while, any time, that IMPACT, the acronym stands for the I, instruction in God's Word. The M is mobilizing for mission. The P is praying in faith. We must be a praying people. A, we love Jesus, adoring Christ with passionate worship. C, that we care for one another. And T, we want to tell others about the good news. Tell others about the Lord, whom we have been worshiping this morning. But very importantly, we need to know and love the Word of God. We need it to impact our lives individually and corporately. And let us know this, that God, Christ Jesus, has established the New Testament church to be a vital part of the believer's life. It's His idea, the church coming together. It's His idea that He wants to build a church that is separate from the world, a people who belong to Him, who love Him and love the brothers and sisters, a people He has called, a people He has chosen to bring glory to His name. And the church, the fellowship and the connect groups are just gathering together, are and must be a vital part of the life of the believer. And therefore, it is important that we have a proper understanding, is it not, of the New Testament church and its function. And let us also realize that most of us, most Christians, learn about doctrine, learn about church from the practices and teachings of perhaps the church that they were brought up or born again into. And some may be really good stuff, firmly based on the scripture. But I'm also aware that we can bring flavors into the our beliefs and practices which are not necessarily Christ-inspired word. It may be things which are traditions and which we have had to or should be unlearning. And that probably applies to many of us. For myself, I was favored to be brought up in a loving family. And we went to chapel, and I'm thankful for so much of my childhood, so thankful, and to have parents who cared for me and loved me and my brothers. But we went to chapel, as I said, which was a hyper-Calvinist chapel. And so that was our belief structure, Calvinist Reformed. And so even after I became converted in my mid-20s, I was still reading scripture, hearing sermons, and determining what God was saying through hyper-Calvinistic eyes. I was reading the Word of God and translating it from that tradition, from the tulip perspective. The TULIP perspective being another acronym. T, total depravity. U, unlimited, unconditional election. L, limited atonement. Christ died for a few, his own special people. I, irresistible grace. So you cannot resist the grace. And P, perseverance of the saints. So once you've been saved, whatever you do, you're going to get to heaven. There are truths in each of those five statements. But I don't believe they provide the whole counsel of God. I believe they limit our God and they limit our responsibility as Christians. But I was interpreting the Word of God through those lens until God graciously, lovingly opened my eyes to behold some more wonders in His Scripture. And I had to unlearn some things. Please, friends, I am not knocking that particular tradition. I'm just saying that probably all of us, if we've grown up in the Roman Catholic tradition, for example, there's much we've got to unlearn. It doesn't matter what affiliation, association we've been in. Perhaps we need to come afresh to the word of the Lord and hear what God is saying. The Holy Spirit is the best interpreter of His word. Hallelujah. And He will lead us into the truth. And one of the things which we hold passionately here in this fellowship, in this church, is a love for the word of God. And that includes some of the unpalatable scriptures, the things which we'd want to skip over. But we need to learn and keep on learning. And I'm grateful for elders, I'm grateful for brothers, I'm grateful for sisters who are helping me on my journey of faith. I'm grateful for them, for teachers of the Word of God. So that we can learn what Christ has for us in this life and in the future. There are two scriptures, important scriptures, which affirm that the Bible, this precious book, is the inspired, inerrant word of God. And the first one is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. And here we read, from verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the second scripture which I'm bringing to you at this moment is in 2 Peter. 2 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 16 to 21. For we do not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice, which came from heaven, when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never come by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We must have a love for this precious word. And our authority is the word of God. So our first, if you like, definitive thing about this fellowship, about this church, that we are a church of impact, that we want to be instructed in God's word, in the word of God. Friends, with the increased pace, with the accelerated pace of the attack on religious liberty, particularly Christian liberty today, there may well develop, in fact it's already developing, a great divide in the church. Church generally, between churches that are true to the Bible and compromising churches. Now, obviously, we know that the so-called liberal churches do not adhere necessarily to the Word of God, and they would say that this contains the Word of God. Whereas a true Bible-believing evangelical Christian and a Bible-believing church would say, this is the Word of God. Hallelujah. And it's the Word of God that teaches me, judges me, and not me who judges the Word. I come under its authority, and this church wants to come under the authority of his Word. But the danger is that in many so-called evangelical churches, there is a divide coming. There is a divide coming. This will not be a divide so much on denominational affiliations or associations, but based on the degree of fidelity, loyalty to the Bible. And it is sad, but nevertheless it is true, that more and more fellowships and believers are going to compromise core biblical values, core biblical standards, rather than be stigmatized or persecuted and lose influence in society. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, John's Gospel, chapter 12, and we're going to read from verse 42, we see that many contemporaries of Jesus believed in him, but would not confess him because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. So in John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 42, nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And that's a temptation for me. I've got to be honest, it is. It will be a temptation, I guess, for you all. When we've been quiet, when we should have confessed the name of Jesus, when we should have stood up the word of God, and we took the coward route. We didn't want to lose face. But I pray that increasingly we will know that we must love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. We must fear him before man. You know, the fear of man will bring us into bondage. But the fear of God will bring us into his presence. Hallelujah. Verse 44, then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Hallelujah. The Lord does not want us to stay in darkness. He wants us to come to the light. He wants us to come to Jesus. He wants us to trust and love his word. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges, has one which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command that I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. So may we encourage each other to love and fear the Lord before wanting the applause of the world. Amen? You see, my heart and my hope is that anybody who's been in this fellowship for some length of time, be it 6 months, 9 months, or whatever, will be able to say, if somebody says to you, why do you go to that church? Why do you go to the calling? What about that church? I like to think they say, well, there's love, there's acceptance for everyone. Love and acceptance for everyone. Doesn't mean we accept everyone's sin, no, but we believe we're in a place where sinners can be changed. Hallelujah. I've been changed, haven't you? Yes. So it's love and acceptance for all. And I'd like to think that you'd be able to say, they love the word of God. They're standing on the word of God. They're standing on the promises of God. When other churches may be compromising, and, well, actually, I came from a church which was compromising, which was becoming liberal, which was allowing culture to change what we believe just to please and be made acceptable. This church stands on the word, whether it's palatable or not. So that's one. And I'd like to think that after a few months, you'd say, well, actually, that church isn't into replacement theology. It's got a love for God and his end times teaching. And Israel plays a critical part in that. That I've come to a new understanding of what it means to love what God loves. And I'd like to be able to think that after a few months, you say, hey, the Holy Spirit is among them. It's a Pentecostal church. I'd love people. I'd love you to be able to. And as next week, we hope to be able to bring some teaching and some inspiration from the Lord himself. And I'm praying and believing for God's holy, holy, holy presence to be among us. You'll know for sure this is a church led by the Holy Spirit. Where we get it wrong, where man leads, where man gets in the way, please forgive. Lord, forgive me. But this is, and I'd like you to think, this is an unashamed Pentecostal church. Not into flaky stuff, not into the rubbish, not into man-driven or even demonic manifestations, but the Holy Spirit manifestations. Hallelujah. And I'd like us to be able to say that they preach about Christ is coming back. The return of Jesus Christ. So I pray that we will continue to hold the word of God in spite of opposition, that we will hold fast to the word in spite of opposition. The compromising church will alter the word of God because of opposition. Friends, and this is already becoming apparent, that it will be illegal, and we're talking about this country, this nation, that it will become illegal to preach from certain passages of the Bible dealing with human sexuality, for example. And because of this, already, many are altering their theology, their doctrine, their teaching to fit the culture. But the biblical church will preach and obey the word of God in spite of government fines, in spite of lawsuits, penalties, and perhaps even serving time in prison. The biblical church knows, and the believers who belong to a biblical church know, that they're aliens, they're foreigners in this life. We don't belong. And we're going to confront in love the culture and those which are opposing the word of God. Hey, let me say again, dear brothers and sisters, ultimately, at the end of the day, it boils down to this. Are we living for the praise of men or of God? I'm desperate in God's grace to hear at the end, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want to be ashamed of his coming. I want to live for the Lord. And I think it is very likely in the coming days we're going to be shocked at how many mega churches, middle-sized churches and smaller churches compromise the word of God so that they can still keep the doors open and still keep the gift aid returns coming in. At some point, we may well have to stand the ultimate test, which is whether we desire God more than we do our own lives, or whether we love our pleasures, our material things, our conveniences, our material goods more than we love God. A test is coming. Let me tell you, this is the word of God. If we confess Christ before men, he will confess us before his Father in heaven. But if we deny him before men, he will deny us before his Father in heaven. That's Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Friends, may God help us. And this is another reason why we're in connect groups, etc., to encourage, to inspire, to help us to keep faithful and loving and obedient to the word of the Lord, that we can be honest with each other, the struggles that we're having, so that we can have prayer support and help, but that we will press on. We will not give up. Because, you know, this passage which I've just quoted on from Matthew about confessing or denying, to refuse to speak up for Christ because of opposition, because we lack courage, the Bible is quite clear, it's not my words, the believer will lose rewards. Romans chapter 8 verse 17 is an example. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12 says, "If we endure, we shall also reign with him." Hallelujah. But if we deny him, he will deny us. So again, friends, is why we want to encourage you and help you, and you help me, that we don't deny. I will know that there's probably somebody sitting here today that thought, "This past week, I blew it big time. I had an opportunity to confess Jesus. I had an opportunity to speak the truth. I had an opportunity to talk about my faith. I was a coward." Well, let me say, I've been there many a time. If we confess before the Lord, I'm sorry, Lord, but next time, help me. I want to be strong. I want to be faithful to you. Don't be in condemnation. The enemy will bring you in condemnation. If you've been convicted that you should have said this, you should have done that, pray that if you have that opportunity again, you won't blow it. And that even somebody else may meet that person or meet that family, meet your colleague and be able to speak what you are unable to this time. But I don't want to deny Jesus. What a great thing, friends. This almighty God who humbled himself, the one who created all things, our opening songs were about this awesome God, the creator, Jesus, came to earth, and now he's in heaven, seated at the right hand of God, praying, interceding for you and saying, I don't want them to give up. I want them to be faithful. I want them. I'm giving them. Lord God Almighty, strengthen them in this their hour of need. Hallelujah. And the word says he's not ashamed to call you a sister, to call you a brother. So how can we be ashamed of him? Ashamed of Jesus, soon afar, let midnight blush and whatever.
To own the star.
Own a star. I don't want to be ashamed of Jesus. Lord, help us. Friends, a church that is being instructed in God's word are not called, as it were, to coexist with this sinful society. We are called to confront it, to be radically different, and to proclaim God's love, God's truth, God's power to save and to deliver from corruption. Hallelujah. This is our message. This is our mandate. We're not called to please men. I pick this up from what Dr. Michael Brown wrote. And this is, and I'm just quoting. He says this, quite challenging. Why was John the Baptist beheaded? Why was Stephen stoned? Why was Paul persecuted? Was it because they shared the four spiritual laws with their friends? Was it because they told their friends that they could have a better life if they would only ask Jesus in? Was it because they promised prosperity and plenty to those who would tithe to their ministries? No, it was because they preached a confrontational gospel, and that is the only gospel there is. I want to be faithful to God, whether man hears or not. But you know something that God has said? You know, when you preach my word, the word of God is going to accomplish something. And it will please him. Have confidence in this word. Have confidence in the word of God. So a church that is being instructed in the word of God. We need to be, and we must be, a fellowship that is impacted by God's word. Let me tell you, it is not dry and dusty. It's the living and it's an active word for the believer and corporately. What we do know is that clever preachers, clever evangelists lift verses out of God's perfect and complete word that appeals to their taste or fit their latest revelation that they want to make merchandise of. I heard the late evangelist Steve Hill say this, and I've made a note of it on one of his tapes. Because, you see, it is through the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit, that the Bible enlightens each individual to recognize their own sin, their own need of a Savior, and God's way and God's direction for them in the days to come. You know, without the Bible informing and illuminating us, we'd be hopelessly unable to know and follow the true and living God. But this is what Steve Hill said. He said, and talking about some of the false preachers and teachers, he said, they skip over or completely ignore other scriptures that don't fit their context or challenge their point. These carefully crafted messages may be appealing to the uninformed saints, but it's appalling to the Saviour. End of quote. And so, friends, I lovingly, as your pastor, as your shepherd, as your friend, watch what you watch on the so-called God TV programs and so on. If you are watching, do it with discernment. Please, please, please. I will constantly say to you, what I preach, what I declare from here, check it out. Be a Berean. Acts 17, verse 11. But I don't want you taken in by false teaching, false prophets. I want you to love the Word of God and be able to test the spirits and see if they are of God. Do you know, friends, God is still speaking to us. He is. Sometimes we say, oh, I wish I could hear God speak to me. Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know what you mean. But we overlook the fact that God has spoken and he is still speaking to us through his word. His word. He is never silent. He's actively involved in every aspect of our life. The importance of being nourished with solid food. Do you know this Bible, the Word of God, is profitable, it's nourishing, it feeds us. As we grow, we leave the milk, we have the solid food more, the meat. It provides us with an advantage in every department of life. Family, work, college, personal relationships. This is profitable because it reflects the wisdom of God. Amen?
Amen?
And when we abide by its teachings, we learn to live in his peace. As we meditate, as we consider his truth, our spirits, our souls find nourishment so that we are able to believe and submit to God and his word and resist the devil. We're able to speak the word of God. We're able to say, get behind me, Satan. I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah. We become established. We become enriched in every experience of life by living according to God's perspective. Do you know the Bible is a book for everyone? It's revelation, it's inspiration, it's the communication of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the plan of the eternal, living and powerful God. In a couple of weeks' time, our sister Frankie, who is the regional coordinator for Above Rubies, there's a mention about Above Rubies in the diary, and particularly a men's conference, a day conference, which is being held on Saturday the 24th of January. I hope men will be able to set that day apart. But how their heart is, Colin and Nancy Campbell of Above Rubies, how their heart is that we will be raising our children, our families, that our singleness, that our daily life, our work will be all under the submission of the Lord. And there's much help in this day and age, but it's all biblical based. Hallelujah. Well, Psalm 119, I think one of our sisters can quote it, which is wonderful. It's, every stanza contains something about the precious word of God, about the statutes of the Lord, about his precepts, about the commands of the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 16, what does it say? It says, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Hey, I'm not going to forget your word because your word is truth. And verse 11 of Psalm 119 says, your word have I hidden in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against you. Do you know what Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6 say? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Every word of God is pure. Then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 is another scripture which just reminds us, for the word of God is living and powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even at the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Do you know what Jesus said? In one of the passages which he talks to his disciples about the signs of the coming of the Lord and all the things which will precede his coming, he says, this heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And finally, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing that I sent it. As I conclude this morning, friends, one of the sure signs that a person or fellowship has left or is leaving their first love, the love of the Lord, where there's compromise, is the view that they have on Christ's command and his words. They view them as restrictions to their happiness rather than expressions of his love. If you're losing your love, your joy, and this word is becoming a little bit stale, it's because you're seeing it more as restrictive rather than expression of a father's love to you. Because God's words, God's commandments, are the words of a wise and loving and caring father. And they lead you, and they will lead this church to what is good and away from what is evil. John chapter 14, verse 21 says this, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Friends, obedience to the precious word of God and being a biblically based church will bring freedom and it will bring joy. Friends, these are some of the positive reasons why we must stand apart from the compromising, seeker-friendly churches and be a fellowship and a people being instructed in God's word. God willing, on the 7th, we will be looking at a spirit-filled church, a spirit-led church. On the 14th, we love God's plan for Israel and the Jews. Unlike many churches, we refute replacement theology. And on the 21st, hey, we are looking for Christ coming. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to sing a song of where Christ is sovereign, Christ is king. Amen. And he's your Savior. He's your Lord. Rejoice. The Lord is king. If you want to discuss this message with me, please, we will make time to do so. Just want us that we would grow up more and more in the things of God and the things which please the Lord, which make him happy.